Today's daf is Bav Metzia daf Lamed Dalid. Yesterday we began Perek HaMafkid, so we are holding on the bottom of daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, a few lines, four lines from the end of the page on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. The Gemara was discussing how it could be that when a person is a shomer, that he gains the rights to the kefel if the item were to get stolen. How does he gain the rights to the kefel? If instead of swearing and becoming pater, when the item gets stolen, let's say he's a shomer chinam and he's pater and gnev vaveda, so instead of swearing and being pater, he decides to pay for it. So when he pays for it, the Mishnah had said, that entitles him to the kefel. So the Gemara is going to discuss how that works exactly. How is it that he ever acquires the rights to the kefel or the dalet vehei on the stolen item? So the Gemara is going to, after all, generally speaking, one is not allowed to be makne a davar shelo b'liyolam. So even if the original bialim is trying to be makne to him at the time that he gives him the shmira, but there is no kefel to be makne to him at the time that he begins the shmira. There is no dalet vehei to be makne to him at the time that he begins the shmira. So we're going to have two different versions of Rava's explanation of how the shomer can in fact be kona the kefel and dalet when it's really a davar shelo b'liyolam. Then the Gemara is going to get into the discussion of whether shomer actually has to pay in order to be entitled to the kefel, or can he just say, I plan on paying, I commit to pay. Is that enough to make a verbal commitment without actually paying? And the Gemara is also going to talk about whether a shoel can be kona the kefel by just saying he's going to pay, or maybe a shoel is going to be different, because a shoel almost always is going to have to pay anyway. A shoel is kolana shelo, he's almost always going to have to pay. And then the Gemara is going to raise 11 questions, starting from the bottom of Amud Aleph, going through Amud Beis, 11 different questions of cases where the payment is somehow incomplete, and therefore we're unsure as to whether the shomer is kona, the kefel, through his payment, because if his payment is not complete, maybe it's not enough to be kona the kefel. And then on Amud Beis, halfway down the page, the Gemara is going to introduce a chiddush of Rav Huna, that when the shomer pays, he also has to swear that he doesn't still have the item with him anymore. Meaning when he says, oh, it was stolen from me, but I'd rather not swear and be potter, I'd rather just pay you for it, but he still has to take some form of shvuah. He has to at least swear that he doesn't have the item anymore, that he's not holding on to it somewhere, and we'll discuss why that's the case, and whether everyone agrees that that is in fact true. So overall, the entire daf is about this idea that a shomer who has an item stolen from him or lost from him may entitle himself to the kefel if we ever find the ganav, or may entitle himself to the dalet vehei if we find the ganav who is tavach u'machar, by simply paying for it right now, by choosing not to get himself off the hook, but by paying for it right now. So a number of details within that halacha. So let's pick up from four lines from the bottom of the page, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, Maskevla Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama says, I ask the following question. How could it be that the original Bailim is ever makne to the shomer the rights to the kefel and the rights to the dalet vehei? I can only be makneh to you something that exists. If it doesn't exist yet, I can't be makneh to you. And we're assuming right now that the time that he's being makneh to him, the kefel and dalet vehei, is when the shmira is beginning. Meaning I'm asking you to be shomer my object for me, and along with that I'm telling you that I'm giving you the rights, should it ever get stolen, and you're going to pay for it, and you're going to choose to pay for it. Instead of swear, I'm being makneh to you the rights to the kefel and dalet vehei right now, as we're beginning the shmira. How could I do that right now as we're beginning the shmira? There is no kefil, there is no dalve. And forget about Eino de Makna Dover. Even if you hold you can be Makna Dover Shalom Aliyolim, that I have the right to be Makna to you something that doesn't yet exist but will exist. Yeah, when do I have the right to do that? When we're talking about I'm being Makna to you fruits of a tree that have not yet grown, but every year they grow. We know that the fruits come back every year. So we know that it's obviously going to happen. So I'm makna to you the fruits before they actually come. That's as far as our mayor takes it. But do we know for sure every time I ask you to be shomer something for me, every time I go on a vacation, I say, do me a favor, keep an eye on my car for me. It's good. It's in my drive. Just keep an eye on my car for me. That we know that it's going to be stolen, that you're going to choose to pay me for it, and that then we're going to find the ganav, and there's going to be a kefil baby. We know all that. Is that a given? Aval hacha, mi yemer demiknava. Who says it's going to be stolen in the first place? Vimtim salomer demiknava. And even if it does get stolen, mi yemer demishtakach ganav. What are the chances that we're going to find the ganav? Vimishtakach ganav. And even if we do find the ganav, Who says he's going to be chayiv kefil? Mi yemer demishalim. Dumma modi miftar. Kefil is a knas. One of the rules of knas is moda beknas pater. That if a person admits to owing a knas before we have a chance to be mechayiv him, so then he's going to be off the hook. So maybe even if we do find the ganav, he'll right away be moda, and then it'll be pater. Tosfos points out that it has to be right away. Pirush Tosfos points out on the top. Dumma yimaher lahodos. He'll be moda very quickly. Kodem sheyavo edim, before there are any edim to the ganeva. V'hainu krav dumma moda b'knas rachach ba edim pater. And this is assuming, like Rav, that when you're moda b'knas, even if edim later come, since you got in before the edim and you were moda before the edim came, you actually are pater from the moda b'knas. So that's the Gemara's question. It doesn't make sense how the shomer can acquire the kefel and the rights to the dalet vehei if at the time of the shmira none of it is there yet. And Rashi highlights this point in the top Rashi. Mi yemar demignava sha'asal liganev. How do we know that it will ever become stolen? Delikni le kefel b'shas misira. That the owner could be makne the kefel to the shomer at the time that he's first giving him the item to watch. And that's a key. That's what the Gemara is assuming. That's when the kinyan is happening. When he's initially giving him the item to watch. Dal karchach mishas misira ba'ila. It has to be that that's the Shas Mesira, because that's when he's actually doing a kinyan. That's the only time the Shomer does a kinyan, is when he takes the object into his house, when he takes the object into his possession. Other than that, there is no time of kinyan that you could point to and say, oh, that's where he's doing the kinyan on the kefel. So it has to be way back when you originally give him the item to watch. Well, at that point, there is no kefel, there is no dalvei, we don't know if it'll ever be stolen, we don't know if we'll ever catch the ganav, we don't know if it'll be moda. So at that point, there's nothing there. So that's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara's going to have two versions of Rava's response to this question. Before we get to that, there is an interesting point that Rashi raises. This question that Rami Bar Chama asks, that we just spoke about, who is it a question on? You know, the Mishnah had already raised the point that if a Shomer decides to be Mishalim instead of to be Nishba, that he already acquires the rights to the Kefel. So is this simply a question on the Mishnah? Straightforward question, how can he acquire the Kefel? After all, he can't be Kona Dover Shalom Baliyot. Or maybe no, maybe the Gemara already discussed why the Mishnah had to give two examples. The Mishnah gave an example of a Shomer who was watching Kalim, and an example of a Shomer who was watching a Behema. And the Gemara said, you know, we gave two examples because we were trying to highlight that the Bailim is willing to be Makna the Kefel, even for Kalim, which don't involve much Tircha, even for Kalim, Behema is a big hassle to watch someone's animal, but even for Kalim, which don't involve much Tircha, he's still willing to be Makna the Kefel. And he's willing to be makna the kefil even for a behema, even though the kefil could sometimes get very high. It could sometimes be dalet vehei if it's got a v'machar. By kelim, it's not such a high risk because the most it's ever going to be is kefil. But by behema, it's all that. So even that's the chiddush. So maybe we're asking on that line that you're telling me about the bailim being makna. So that's where we're first really highlighting the idea that the bailim is being makna something. So it's on that we say, what do you mean be makna? You can't be makna kefil when kefil doesn't exist. So is it a kasha on the Mishnah, or is it a kasha on the Gemara? Rashi in Dibra Maskel Maskif says that the kasha is a kasha on the Mishnah. And it's he says that Rashi, and the Achronim point out, Rashi has to say that because it's dochak to say that Rami Bar Chama would ask a kasha on Ravina and Ravashi, on the Masadrei HaGemara, who are later Amorai. Much more likely, he's asking just how to touch up the Mishnah. The Ritva, however, says, no, we never find the Lashon of Maskif on a Mishnah. Maskif is always on other Amoraim. So it wouldn't be a kasha on the Mishnah. Why would you say one way or the other? Meaning, why does it make more sense as a kasha on one versus the other? So the Ritva says, no, the kasha wouldn't, the Mishnah would not have been a problem for him, Baruch Hashem. He doesn't have a problem with what's happening in the Mishnah. Why? What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah just said that if, as a shomer, I decide to pay instead of to be nishba, instead of to swear and to be pater, now I'm entitled to the kefel. But it never says that anyone is makne to me the kefil, that the bailim is makne the kefil to me. It could be that the pshat in the Mishnah is that the Beis Din, is that the Chachamim made a takana that I'm going to be entitled to the kefil as a tikkun olam. Here I went out of my way to be nice and not try to get off the hook from my shmira, and instead I paid for it. So as a tikkun olam, it's a din that I'm entitled to the kefil, but there didn't have to be any kinyan. That's a takana that the Rabbanan made. But once the Gemara starts talking about, oh, why is Kalim different than Behema? Behema different, what's the Chiddush of each one? And the Chiddush is, where does the Bailim want to be Makne the Kefil to you more? So now we see it's not just the Tekanus Chacham. We see it's about the Bailim actually being Makne. And it's that Rabbi Bar Chama challenges. He says, what are you talking about? Bailim being Makne? There's nothing to be Makne. So that's how the Ritva understands that the Kash is Dafka on the Gemara and not on the Mishnah. So anyway, so the problem over here is, how can you be Makna Davar Shalob El Yolim? So two versions of Rava's answer. Rava's answer, number one, version number one of Rava's answer is three lines from the top. Amar Rava, Nase Ka'omer Lo. We treat it as if he told him, as if the Bailim told the Shomer, and when he gave him the object to watch, Likashet Iganev, when it gets stolen, V'tirtzev et Shalmeni, and you choose to pay me instead of to swear and get off the hook, Harei Prasi Kanui Lach Me'achshav. I am hereby right now being makne my para to you, and therefore you have all the rights therein, including the kefil and the dalet v'hei. So that's it. It's as if that was part of the deal initially. So there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand that. You really think that far ahead? I mean, when you ask someone to watch something for you, you start to think, what would happen if it gets stolen? And what would happen if after it gets stolen, the guy doesn't become potter with a shvua? He instead decides to pay. All of that is part of the thought process. So from Rashi and the Ritva, it sounds that it's an umdana, that someone who's giving a pikadon intends on giving all of these rights if the relationship stays in such a way where the shomer is going to want to pay for it. So that's the kavana of the mafkid at the time that he's giving the para to the nifkad. So even though he didn't say it, it's ki'ilu he said it, meaning enochinami. Rashi and Ritva sound like this is all part of the deal, and this is part of what he intends to commit to at the beginning. The Rashba, however, says, no, he's not maknes para, he's not really maknes para, it's nase ka'omerlo, which means Beis Din treats it like he said it because most people would be happy with that deal. Meaning, if we would have asked him, let's imagine in the future this item gets stolen and the guy is kind enough to pay for it. You know, when he makes that kind of gesture that he pays for it even though he didn't have to, would you be willing to be makanim the kefil on the chance that we find the gun? Most people would be willing to enter into such a deal. Most people would be willing to do that. So, because most, it doesn't matter what this guy wants, because most people would be willing to do it, says the Rashba, therefore Beis Din makes it as if this fellow had committed to it. It's a big nafkamina. What if we know that the guy didn't commit to it? What if we know that the guy, we know this guy's personality, and we know that he squeezes every dime out of everybody. So he never would have, the relationship still mattered to him. He squeezes every dime out of everybody. So we know this guy wouldn't have committed to it. So according to Rashi and the Ritva's understanding, the whole thing is an umdana, that we're assuming this is what this guy wants. According to the Rashba, no, we don't care what this guy wants. Most people would want to do this, and therefore it's the Takanas Beis Din that this is the way the Kenyan works, that this is how it happens. Okay, so that's one answer of Rava. Maskar Rabbi Zeir says, well, wait a second, when is he actually becoming the owner of this animal then? When is the Shomer becoming the owner of the animal? It turns out Lemafreya, to the time he started his Shmira, he already becomes the owner of this animal. Ihachi, if that's the case, Afilu Gizosev Lo Desa Anami, he should be entitled, the Shomer should be entitled to all the shearings and any offspring the animal has from the time that the Shemira began. And Allah Matanya, but we have a Bryce that says, Chutz mi gizosa vlodosa, that he is not entitled to the gizos and the vlodos. So if he's really becoming the owner at the time of the beginning of the Shemira, he should have been entitled to the gizos and the vlodos. Elo amre bizera nasa ka omerlo, chutz mi gizosa vlodosa. Now it's as if they made this deal that you're going to be the owner of the animal except for the gizos and the vlodos. That you're not going to be the... My Pascha, why would we assume that that's part of the deal? That I'm willing to give you the animal from the time the Shemira begins, but I'm not willing to give you the Gizos and Vados? Some Shevach that you're going to get, some benefit, some profit that's going to come from outside, like Kefel, Dalet Vehei, some guy's going to steal it, he's going to owe that money, that I'm willing to be Makna to you. But Shivcha Demigufa, Lo Avad Nishta Makni. I'm not willing to be Makna to you any Shevach that the animal is going to inherently develop, and the animal is going to come from the own body of the animal, the gizos, the vlados, that he's not willing to be makna. That's the umdana that we're making, that he is willing to be makna future profits that are going to come externally, but not the profits that are going to come from the animal itself. Ikada, so that was all one version of Rava. Ikada Amri Amar Rava. The other version is how Rava answered this question of, after all, isn't this problem of being Makna Dover Shaloba Liolam? Nasa Komelo, it's as if he told him, Likisha Tignav, Vitirtsa Vitishalmeni, when this gets stolen in the future, and you decide to pay me instead of to swear and get off the hook, and here's the difference. Samuch Lignevasa Knuyalach. It should be yours from the moment before it gets stolen. So instead of saying it should be yours from the moment I give it to you b'shmira, he's saying it should be yours from the moment before it gets stolen. Well, where's the kinyan the moment before it gets stolen? How could he be maknetim? It's not, so the moment before it gets stolen, where is it? It's in the reshus of the shomer. It's in the backyard or the house of the shomer. A kinyan chaser. So he's able to be kone with a kinyan chaser. He may not be doing a meshicha at that time, but that's when the kinyan is chal. My binai, what's the difference between the first version of Rava and the second version of Rava? In either case, we see clearly that there is a kinyan that's happening, that the bailim is being maknet to the shomer. What difference does it make whether we trace that shas kinyan back to the original beginning of the shmira, or whether we trace the shas kinyan only back to the moment before it was stolen? So two differences, says Gemara. Ika binayu kushyad Rabbi Zeira. One difference is, does Rabbi Zeira have a kasha? I mean, Rabbi Zeira said, what about the gizos and the vlados? According to the second version, you can't ask that kasha. Gizos and vlados is not a problem. It didn't belong to the shomer yet when all those gizos and vlados happened. Inami de kaima ba'agam. The other nafkamina would be, would this work if this animal was stolen from land that doesn't belong to the shomer? He had it out in the swamps, you know, doing whatever, grazing or whatever in some hefker territory. So you can't tell me that I was kona with the kinyan chatzer at that moment. It wasn't in my chatzer. So that's the that would be the nafkamina between the two. Now the Maram Shif and Rabbi Kiva Eiger explained that the chiluk between the two lashonos is also in halacha with regard to the shevach haguf that happens la'achar agneva, that after it gets stolen, if the animal goes up in value, the animal fattens up a little bit. According to the first lashon, it's as if he told him chutz migizusav v'ladosah, so he's not makna the gizusav v'lados, even that, forget about it, fattens up, the animal grows wool after it gets stolen. So according to the first Lashon, since the first Lashon had to answer Rabbi Zeira's Kasha, we had to say that there's an assumption, there's an understanding that the Gizos and Vlados don't belong to you at all. That even though, yes, I'm being makna my animal to you, but I'm not being makna its Gizos and Vlados. And therefore it doesn't matter when those Gizos and Vlados come. Even if the Gizos and Vlados come after it was stolen, I'm not being makna them to you. According to the second version, though, we never had to make that assumption of chutz migizosav l'dosav. I'm being makna you everything just the moment before it gets stolen, but I'm being makna everything. And what about the wool that grows after it gets stolen? So it's yours also. I'm being makna everything to the shomer. So that's what Rabbi Kivager points out. La halacha, it turns out, a nafkamina between the two shitos as well. It's also interesting, the Gemara keeps talking about samach l'gnei vasa, that I'm going to be makna to you right before it gets stolen. What's the case? The case is, I ask a shomer to watch my item, shomer chinam, to watch my item for me, and then it's nignav o ne'avad. It gets stolen or lost, right? So why is it dafka that it's, right? That was the case in the Mishnah. Nignavu o sha'avdu. And it gets stolen or lost. And then we find the ganav. Then, so obviously it turns out that it was stolen, but I thought it was lost originally. What if it was nevad? Would we say these same svaras? So the Ritva writes that it's dafka by Gneva, we say that the bailim is makna the para, samach le Gneva, according to the second lashon, or le mafreya, back to the time of the beginning of the shmir, according to the first lashon. But by an aveda, even after it's lost, the bailim can still be makna to someone, meaning by an aveda, the bailim is still the owner of it, so we assume that he's only going to be makna at the time that you actually pay. When it comes to an aveda, we're not going to retroactively assume that there is a kinyan. We're going to assume, no, when you actually pay me for it, that's when I'll be actually makna it to you. That is the sheet of the Ritva. Okay, two dots now. Says the Gemara, Shilim v'lo ratzel lishav. The Mishnah said that if he pays and he decides not to swear and get off the hook, so then he's going to be entitled to the kefil and the dal v'hei once we find the ganav. Amar b'chir barab, amar b'yochanan. Lo shilim shilim amish. When we say that he pays, it doesn't mean that he actually has to pay the money in order to become entitled to the kefil and dalvei. Once he made a verbal commitment that he will pay, then even if he didn't pay, it's as if he paid. Tanan shilem v'larasu lishava shilem in lo shilem lo. But wait a second, the Mishnah said shilem. It said that he paid. So it sounds like only if he actually pays. So how can you tell me that he doesn't have to actually pay? So says Gemara, yeah, but Ema Seifa, if you look in the Seifa, it says, Nishba v'lo ratzel l'shalim. The Seifa of our Mishnah says, what if he chooses the other option? He chooses to swear and he doesn't want to pay. Taima d'lo ratza sounds like it's only because he doesn't want to pay. Haratza afal pi shelo shilein. But if he just wants to pay, expresses a desire to pay, that would be enough to entitle him to the kefil and the dalav hay. So from the seifa, it sounds like just expressing the desire to pay already makes him the owner of it. Already makes him entitled. So elamehal lekal mashmuna. So obviously you can't learn anything from a mishnah because you give him a daik one way in the resha, the other way in the seifa. So from the mishnah, we can't tell whether expressing that he's interested in paying is enough to entitle him in the dalav hay. Tanya kavaseid Rabbi Yochanan, but we have a braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan, that all he has to do is a verbal commitment to pay. He doesn't have to actually pay in order to be entitled to the kefil and dalav hay, because the braisa says, hasochar par mechaveru v'nignava, a guy rents a cow from his friend and it gets stolen. Va'amra Allah hareini mishalim ve'ni nishba, and he says, I'm going to pay, I'm not going to swear. V'achach nimsa ganav, and then we find the ganav mishalim tashlumi kefil l'socher. Then he paid kefil to the socher. Notice what it never said in the braisa. It never said that he actually paid. It just said that he said he's going to pay. That's enough. That's enough to entitle him to the kefil. Amrav Papa, Shomer Chinam, Kibin Shomer Pashati, Makne Kfele, Dibayu Patanav Shebigneva. If a Shomer Chinam says, let's say he doesn't say that it was stolen, but I don't care, I'm going to pay anyway. Let's say a different case. He says he's going to pay, but not because he's doing it out of the goodness of his heart. He admits that he's chayiv to pay. He admits that he was poshea. Shomer Chinam is only chayiv on pshia. So he admits that he's chayiv to pay. He says, yeah, the animal got ruined because I put it somewhere that I shouldn't have put it, and I left the door open and whatever. I was completely negligent and it just got away from me. So then he's also kona the animal. He's also kona the kefil, because he could have said, if he wanted to get off the hook, he could have said that it was stolen and he would have easily gotten off. Shomer Sachar, Kivin Shomer Nigneva, and similarly Shomer Sachar, who claims that it was stolen, and Shomer Sachar is Chayvan Gneva Veda, Makne Kvela. He also is going to be entitled to the kefil, the Bayu Patanav Shebeshvuru Mesa, because if he really wanted to get off the hook, he could have said that it was Shvuru or Mesa, which also is Shomer Sachar's Patan from. Shoel Sha'omer Hareini Mishalim Lo Makni Lekfela. However, a Shoel who says, I'm willing to pay, does not become entitled to the Kefel, because B'mai Havalei L'Miftar Nafshei, he had no other option. A Shoel is Chayev in everything, so there's nothing that he could have said to get him off the hook. So just because he's paying when it got stolen or lost doesn't entitle a Shoel to the Kefel. Why? What could he have said to make him potter? B'meisa Machmas Malacha. What? He could have said that it was Meisa Machmas Malacha, which is true. A Shoel is putter when it's mesa machmas malacha, when the thing dies from its normal usage. Well, mesa machmas malacha lo shchiach, but that's such an uncommon thing to happen. We don't think it would have dawned on him to make such a taina, or that he would have had the chutzpah to make such a taina, because it's such an uncommon occurrence. So once he's saying that he's going to pay, it's because he really has no other choice. Ikada Amri Amar Rav Papa. However, there's an alternate version of Rav Papa that says the exact opposite with regard to the Shoel. That Shoel Nami, Kivin Shamar Areini Mishalim, Makni Lekfela. That when it comes to Shoel as well, once he says I'm going to pay, we're makna to him the Kefel when he commits to paying. Because he did have another option. He could have said that it was Mesa Machmas Malacha and he would have been Pater. Amli Rozid, Hachi Amar Abaye, Shoel Ad She Yishalim. That Abaye said that a Shoel is only going to be Kona the Kefel once he actually pays. My Taima, why is that the case, that he's only Kona the Kefel once he actually pays? Hol V'Kol Ano Shalo. Since the Shoel, the deal the Shoel has is that Kol Ano Shalo, that he's entitled to everything, that he gets all the benefits, he's not paying anything, and he's getting all the benefits of the animal. So B'Dibur Lo Makni Lekfela. So by just verbally committing to pay, that's not enough to actually be makna in the kefel. He needs to actually pay in order to be kona the kefel. So says Gemara, Tanya Kavaseid Rav Zvid. We have a brisa that supports Rav Zvid. So again, what did Rav Zvid say? Rav Zvid is one that says that a shoel is only going to be entitled to the kefel when he actually pays. Even though Rabbi Yochanan said earlier, and we accepted this, we had a brisa to support it, that by all the other shomrim, they just have to commit to want to pay and they're entitled to the kefel. Not so by a shoel. Shoel has to actually pay to be entitled to the kefil. So tiny kavas is Rav Zvid. We have a brisa that goes just like Rav Zvid. Hashol per mechaver v'nignava. A guy borrows a cow from his friend and it gets stolen. V'kidam hashol v'shilem. And the shoel pays. He pays for the cow. v'acharkach nimtza ganav. Then we find the ganav mishalim tashlumi kefel l'shoel. We pay the shoel. The shoel is entitled to the kefel. So the Brisa didn't say that the shoel commits to pay, and then we find the ganav, and now he gets the kefel. No, he pays. Then he's going to get the kefel only if he actually pays, not committing to pay. Committing to pay wouldn't do it. So Gemara discusses which of the two versions of Rav Papa is going to have a problem with this brisa. Remember, we had two versions of Rav Papa as far as a shoel who says, "You know what? I'm guilty. I got to pay." Is such a shoel entitled to the kefel? First version of Rav Papa was no. He had no other option. Of course, he's going to have to pay. Second version of Rav Papa is he could have said meisamach mas malacha. So which of those versions of Rav Papa is going to have a problem with this brisa, where in this brisa the shoel pays and he's entitled to the kefel? So lishna kamed Rav Papa, according to the first version of Rav Papa, that the shoel who says I'm going to pay is not kona the kefel at all. Vade lo avia tiyufta. That's not a problem with this brisa at all, because the brisa also says that if the shoel says I'm going to pay, nothing. He's not entitled to anything. It's only if he actually pays that he's entitled to something. So that's not a problem at all. Lishna Basra lematavi tiyufta, but according to the second lashon of Rav Papa, then it might be tiyufta, because the second lashon of Rav Papa holds that even the shoel who says I will pay is kona the kefil, because he could have said mesa machmas malacha. So that's a tiyufta. This brisa is against Rav Papa, because over here this brisa says that even if he says I will pay, he's not entitled to the kefil. When's he entitled to the kefil? When he actually pays. So Rav Papa could respond, no, the brisa doesn't say beferish that when he says I will pay, he's not kona the kefel. The brisa just says beferish that if he does pay, he is kona the kefel. It's our diuk that we're making, that, oh, if he only commits to it verbally, then he's not kona the kefel. You know, our Mishnah also said that he paid. And when our Mishnah said that he paid, we said it didn't really mean it. It just meant that he committed to pay. So over here also, the brisa might also be talking about where he committed to pay and not where he actually paid. Says Gemara, no, me dummy, you can't compare the shilim in the Mishnah to the shilim in the brisa. Hasam lo katani kidem, hach katani kidem, because the Mishnah didn't say kidem shilim, it just said shilim. So that might mean that he's saying he will pay, but the brisa says kidem shilim, that he went ahead and he paid. That makes it sound like he did something, not just that he said something. So says Gemara, my kidem viomar. No, maybe kidem means he went ahead and he said, but not that he actually did anything. Hamid katani gabi socher v'amar gabi shoel kidem. From the fact that it says Gabi Socher V'Omar and Gabi Shoel Kidem, by the Socher it just says that he says. By the Shoel it says Kidem Shvam in a Dafka Ketani. No, that makes it sound like the Shoel actually did something. Because if he only said something, it would have used the same lashon we used by the Socher of Omar. So don't tell me that the Brice is talking about where he just committed to pay. So midi gabe adadi tanya says more. Can you make a diuk from the fact that it says kidem by the shoel, doesn't say kidem by the socher? That assumes that you can only make such a diuk in the discrepancy between the two if they were both taught by the same tana, if they were both taught at the same time. Why would you change your lashon from one sentence to the next in the same sitting? But who says these two brises were taught together? Maybe they were taught separately, and therefore you can't be medayik anything from the word kidem. Kidem might just mean Omar. So Shailinu l'tanai de Rabbi Chiyo de Rabbi Yoshia. So they asked this from the people who knew the brises really well, whether they were actually taught together. Vamri gabe adadi tanyan. And they said, yeah, they were actually taught together. And therefore, if they were actually taught together, we have a good diuk. Kidem means that he actually did pay. And if he just commits to paying, he's not going to be entitled to the kefel. So it's taka to yufta on the second lashon of Rav Papa. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to discuss the very din that Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said, if a guy commits to pay, even if he hadn't yet paid, let's talk about a shomer chinam, not a shoel, a regular shomer, commits to pay, even if he hadn't yet paid, so at that point that he commits, he's already kona the kefal. So it says more, pshita omar eini mishalim, v'chazer v'omar hareini mishalim, harei kamar eini mishalim. Certainly if a guy says, I'm not going to pay, and then later on he changes his mind, and he says, you know what, I will pay, so then that's enough. He said he's going to pay, that was the last thing that he said, that's what we listened to, so he's entitled to the kefal, because he said he's going to pay, and that's fine. That's obvious. But we have the following 11 questions. Elo amar hareini mishalim. What if it was reverse? He originally said, I'm going to pay. V'chazav amar eini mishalim. And then he said, I'm not going to pay. My, what's the din then? Is he entitled to the kefel? After all, he did say hareini mishalim at some point, but then he changed his mind. So is he entitled to the kefel when we then find the ganav? Mi amrin mahadu kahadarbe? Do we assume that he backtracked, and therefore he's not agreeing to pay anymore. Or maybe no, he still intends to keep his word and pay. He's just not interested in paying right now, so that's why he said Eini Mishalim. But he really still intends to pay. Just a very basic question over here. A guy says, I'm going to pay, and then he says, nah, I changed my mind. I'm not going. You're allowed to do that? You're allowed to change your mind? Aren't there like no backseats on something like that? If a guy says, he goes into Bezin, he says, I'm going to pay for this, he could just change his mind? Ah, I thought the better of it. I know my rights, and my rights are that I didn't have to say I was going to pay. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. The Rishonim quote that Rabbeinu Tam was mochiach from here, that if a guy says in Bezin, Areini Mishalim, and I'm not going to swear, or something like that, that he's yachal achsebo, that he can back out on it. And they're medayik the same way in the Rambam, in the Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam says, by a nitva says to a toveah, he's shava v'tol, that after the toveah is nishva, the nitva is not able to be to back out. But it sounds that before he's actually nitva, even though I already offered the deal, he's shava v'tol, I could still back out on that deal. However, most of the Rishonim disagree with this. Most of the Rishonim say, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Rad, they all say, no, once you say it, you can't back out on it. The question over here is not whether he's entitled to not pay. He's not entitled to not pay. The question is whether he's entitled to the kefal that's coming in. Meaning, once he's saying he's not going to pay, even though of course he's going to, because we're going to force him to, but once he's saying he's not going to, is he still entitled to the kefal that's coming in? That's how the majority of the Rishonim understand the sugya. Okay, next question. Question number two. Amar Reini Mishalim Umeis. The guy says, I'm going to pay, but then the guy dies. Va'amru Banav Ein Anu Mishalmin. And the children say, we're not going to pay. We're not listening. Just because our father committed, we didn't commit. My, what's the din? Mi Amrin Mahaduk Adribu. Do we assume they're backing out on their father's agreement? Or maybe no, they really want to commit, stay with their father's commitment. They're just trying to stall a little bit for time. Third question. Shalmu Banim Mai. What if the children actually did Shalmu Banim Mai? Matziam Lukiak Noi Kfeilu Avuchan Davli Naich Nafshay Lidchula. Meaning, if you're paying if the children did pay, the children actually, the Shomer died. The Shomer committed to pay and died. And now his children pay. They actually pay for the item that was lost or that was stolen. So Matziam Lahu. Can the original owner say, when I agreed to be makna my rights to the kefel, that was to your father, because I had a relationship with him. He did me a favor. He agreed to be my shomer, so I was willing to be makna in the kefel. But lo, to you, just because you paid me, I was never makna to you the rights to the kefel. Or maybe it shouldn't make a difference. Fourth question, shilem libanim mai. What if the original owner died? Not the Shomer. The Shomer is alive, but the original owner died, and the Shomer pays his children. Matzi Amrile, can they say, Kiak Nila Chavuna Kfela, Tavadle Naich Nafshe, Avanan Didan Lo? Can they say, look, Dad was willing to give you the Kfel because you did him a favor. You never did us any favors, so we're not willing to give you the Kfel. Odil Maloshna, or maybe it doesn't make a difference that they're completely in the place of their father. Or what if you have fifth possible permutation? Sholmu Banim Labanim Mai. What if they both died and the children of the Shomer had paid the children of the Bailim? So or sixth question, Shile Mechtsamai. What if they paid half? They Rashi says mitchilaso amareini mishalim mechtsav lo yoser. That's a key over here. It's not that he paid half and he plans on paying the rest later. Because even if he just says he plans on paying all of it, if he paid nothing, he'd have already entitled to the kefal. But what if he paid half? I mean, he says, but that's all you're getting from me. I'm not paying more than half. So is he now entitled to half of the kefal? Or do we say, no, you're not entitled to anything unless you agree to pay the whole thing? So shilim mechtsamai. Seventh question. Shal shtei paros v'shilim achas mehen mai. What if I didn't pay half of a single sheila? I borrowed two cows from you. And then one of them, and they both got stolen, and I decided to pay for one of them. Am I entitled to the kefel of that one? And Rashi points out, this is an imtim tzilomar. Imtim tzilomar lo kari mechtsa. If I can't be kona half a kefel on a single item, what if it's two separate items? Can I divide those two items and say I'm at least kona the kefel on item A, even though I'm not kona the kefel on item B? Question number eight. Shol min ha-shutfin v'shilim lechemen. Let's say I borrowed the item from two partners in a cow. Two people own the cow together, and I borrowed the cow from the two of them together, and I paid back one of the shutfin. So I paid back for half of the cow, but the guy that I paid back got everything that he's entitled to. So do I get his half of the kefel? Because as far as he's concerned, he got fully paid back. So my, what's the din there? So Rashi says that that he paid half. So I mean, Rashi explains the question exactly like we just said it. Rabbi Kivego just raises the question: how does this work? If you have two partners that own an item together, whatever item, a cow. Two partners own a cow together, and I owe them money for the cow. I have to pay them for the cow. So if I give the money to one partner, what happens to that money? Let's say I start paying it off. So I start paying off to one partner. So that only belongs to that one partner? No, this is a shutfus. He's a representative of the shutfus, and whatever money he gives, he better split with the other partner. So what kind of question is this? I paid half the money. I paid up one of the partners. No, you didn't. If you think you paid up one of the partners, what you really did is you paid up half of what you owe to each partner. You didn't fully pay up one partner. It doesn't work that way. A shutfus can't work that way. So that's Rabbi Kivager's kasha, how this case is even shaykh. So he says, maybe there's a difference. He says, if there's shutvim on other things, so then in a chinami, we view it as a shutvus. But he says, when there's still a cow that they own together, you're right, whatever benefits come from that cow, whatever milk or whatever anything else, that gets split automatically. But once the cow is gone, and it's just monetary rights that I owe this guy and that guy money, so if the cow is worth $200, I owe Reuven $100 and I owe Shimon $100. And that's it. That's the way we view it. That I owe money. It's no longer shutfus in a cow. They're no longer shutfim in anything because there is no cow anymore. I owe that guy $100. I owe that guy $100. And therefore, when I pay $100 to one of the shutfim, I fully paid off that chov. That's what Rabbi Kivager suggests. We have to understand this Gemara. Ninth question. Shutfin sheshalu v'shile mechon man mai. What if shutfim are the ones that did the borrowing and one of the shutfim who did the borrowing paid off everything that he would have to owe? So is he entitled to his portion of the kefel? So what's the din there? Tenth question. Shal mina isha v'shilim lebailam mai. What if you borrowed from a woman but you paid up her husband instead of paying to her? Or isha shashala v'shilim baila mai. Or a woman did the borrowing and her husband did the paying. So is the husband now entitled to the kefel because he did the paying? Teku, the Gemara leaves all of these questions unresolved. Maariv Chayis has a problem with the fact that we leave them all unresolved because he points out that shol min isha v'nishal baila the last two with the isha and the baila, that what they really depend on is the sugi of kinin peres kinin aguftami, because whatever a woman owns whatever a husband owns in his wife's properties are kinin peros. A husband owns kinin peros of his wife's properties and she owns the kinin aguf. So what we're really asking over here is the husband considered the owner? And that really should depend completely on the sugi of kinin peres kinin aguf. So if we have a Psak halach and kinyan peres kinyan aguf, we should have a psak halach over here. So that's the kash that Maariv Chayis works on. But let's see vayter now. Am Rav Huna, mashpinos oshvu sheinu b'rishusav. So Rav Huna's mechadesh that it's true the guy could just pay and now be entitled to the kefel, but if he's going to do that, he has to at least swear that he doesn't still have the item in his house. My taimo, why does he have to take that shvua? Because we have to be choshes that maybe this is his way of trying to buy the item. The guy who lent you the item is not willing, doesn't want to sell it to you. He was willing to lend it to you. Now, but you really want to buy it. So you come up with a plan. You'll tell him it was stolen. And then you say, oh, no problem. I'll pay you for it. And that way you bought yourself the item. So that's what we're saying. No, you have to swear. When you pay for it, you have to swear that you're not still holding on to it. We have the following Bryce has four cases. Someone lends his friend money and he's given a mashkon. The mashkon gets lost. Look, I lent you $100. The mashkon you gave me was only worth $50. So you still owe me another $50. The borrower says, no, you lent me $100 and I gave you a mashkon that was worth $100. Pater. So he's kofar akol. He denies owing anything. So he's pater, because that's the din of kofar akol. What if the lender says, I lent you $100 and you gave me a mashkon worth $50? No, you lent me $100, I gave you a mashkon worth $75. So I only owe you $25, I don't owe you $50. then chayiv. He's chayiv v'shvus modah b'miktsas because that's what he is. He's a modah b'miktsas. What if it was the reverse? The mashkon might have been worth more than the money that was lent. Selu v'sani alav beiz hayashava. Let's say the borrower says, look, you lent me $100. I gave you a mashkon worth $200 and you lost my mashkon. V'alomer loki. And the lender says, elaselu, and it's not so. Elaselu he'll v'sicha alav selu hayashava. The mashkon was worth exactly the $100 that I lent you. Potter. So the lender is kofar akol, so he's potter. Selu visani alav shnayim ayeshava. If the borrower says the mashkon was worth twice what you lent me, v'alomer loki ala selu visich alav heidinarim ayeshava. Not twice what I lent you. It was worth a little more than what I lent you. So then chayiv. Then he's a modah b'miktsas and he's going to be chayiv. So mi nishba. Who takes the shvuah in this case? Misha pikadon etzlo, the one who had the pikadon, the one who had the mashkon. Why? Shemi yishavazev yotzi alas pikadon. If we make the other guy swear, we risk exposing a false shvuah. We never want to have the potential of exposing a false shvuah. So if we make the other guy swear, he may still be holding on to the mashkon. He says it's lost. We don't know that it's lost. He may still be holding on to it. Oh yeah, you said it was worth two selas. Look, I have it right here. We could assess it right now. So aheya, which case is that going on that we have this concern? Ilema seifa, if it's talking about the cases of the seifa, who would be the one to swear in the seifa anyway? Obviously the lender is the one to swear in the seifa anyway, because he's the one that the claim is being made against. V'tekulei d'shua gabe malvahu d'akam modim miksasatayne. He's the one that's modim miksas. Elam reshmuel aresha. So it must be that we're talking about on the case of the resha. May aresha, a seifa the resha. And aresha means case two. Selu v'sich alav shekel ayeshava. I lent you $100, you gave me a mashkon that was worth 50. V'alomer lo kiel selu v'sich alav shekel ayeshava. No, you lent me $100, I gave you a mashkon worth 75. D'shvua gabe lovahu. That's where the lova should have had to swear, because he's the modem mitzas. And that's what the Rabbanon say, no, let the malva swear, because we're afraid the other guy's going to take out the pikadon. And here's the kasha. But if Rafuna is really correct, that the moment you pay, you already have to swear you're not holding on to the mashkon, how could there be any concern that in the future he's going to take out the pikadon? As soon as he's paying, he's already taking a shavua that he doesn't have it in his rishus anymore. Okay, so maybe we'll go over that question tomorrow. At the beginning, we'll pick up from there.